Okay, good morning, everybody. The shiur this week, sponsored just as every week by the Greensteins in memory of Yome Yosef Menachem Ben Gershon. The shiur is Le'ilui Nishmaso. Also, the breakfast sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'ilui Nishmas Fega Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Ze'ev. We're on Megillah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara at this point is in the middle of an analysis of Braisa that is running through each bracha of the Shemona Esrei, the weekday Shemona Esrei, and presenting the sources for where the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah got the theme, and also got the reasons for the organization and the sequencing of each of the brachos in the Shemona Esrei. And we got last week all the way as far as the top, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, to the end, to the bracha of Estemach David. So we're up to Shema Kol Leinu. So it says on the top, second line from the top, it says, V'kiven Shabbat David. Well, at this point in the Shemona Esrei, what the Gemara is doing is that they're saying that the Geula B'Achris Hayamim is going to follow a certain sequence, and the sequence is what we're trying to mirror here in our Shemona Esrei. And so after there's a government of a Malchus based David, then it says here, V'kiven Shabbat, in the second line, V'kiven Shabbat David, Ba'asa Tfila. And once there's a Malchus based David, so then we know that the next thing is Tfila. Now what does that mean? The next thing is Tfila. The Gemara itself says, well, by tefillah, what we mean is the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Rashi already said in the top line here is that the Beis HaMikdash was already in place at that point. And Rashi was kind of envisioning that the sequence is that there's a Beis HaMikdash that's built not necessarily under the auspices of a Mashiach, of a Malchus based David, and just that afterwards there will be a Malchus-based David that's going to emerge, or at least going to be identified, perhaps. In any case, then there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. What's the function of the Beis HaMikdash? The function of the Beis HaMikdash is twofold. The function of the Beis HaMikdash is described over here. It says this, V'kiven Sheba David Basa Tfila Shene'emar V'havi Yosim El Harkachi V'simachti Beis Tfila Si. Like it says in the Pasuk, familiar Pasuk we all know, that I'm going to bring them back to my Har HaKodesh, and I'm going to have them rejoice in my Beis Tefillah. That's the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is characterized first as, and possibly even primarily, as a Beis Tefillah. V'kiven Shebas Tefillah Bas Avoda. And it's only, subsequently, it's identified as a Makom of Avoda. Shenamar, the Hemshech of the same Pasuk, Olosehem Ezev Chayhem LaRatzon. Al Mizbechi. So the sequence is, you have after Malchus Beis David, then you have the Beis HaMikdash as identified in two parts, the Beis Tfila and the Beis Korbanos, the Avoda, both being Avoda, in which case we can understand that many of the formal halachos of Tfila are derived from the halachos of avoda. See, very obvious from over here that that's a meaningful and a reasonable connection. But then it says here after what's after Shema Kolenu? It says Ritzei. That bracha Ritzei is avoda. That's called avoda, where we pray for the restoration of the avoda sakarban. And it says after that bracha, after Machzishkin Asolat Zion, what do we say? We say Modim. That's what it says in the Gemara here. V'kiven Shebas Avoda Bas Toda. After the restoration of Avoda comes Toda. The theme of Toda, Hoda. Hoda and Modim, of course, means two different things. One thing it means is Hakaras Hashem, is an acknowledgement of Hashem. And the second thing it means is also thanks and gratitude towards Hashem. It's very obvious. There, twice in Modim, you say Modim. You say Modim and Achnulach, and then around 10 lines later, you say, No delachot esaperti losecha. So the first one, we're not thanking Hashem for anything. We're just acknowledging. The second one, we're actually thanking Hashem for all of the things that we're appreciative of. And so this is focusing on the gratitude, on thanking Hashem. The kiven shebasa avoda basa toda shenamar zaveach toda yechabdeneini. It says in the pasuk Zoveach Toda Yechab Deneini Zevach, followed by Toda Hoda. Okay, so that's why after Avoda is Toda. Now, after what's after Modin? After Modin, Matoshim Solachan Elohodos. What's the next thing? So the next thing is actually where they do duchening, where there's either the duchening or the substitute of the duchening, the tefillah of Birchas Kohanim. So it says Ma'ro Lomer Birchas Kohanim Acher Hoda, which is a little funny because that's not one of the brachos of the Shemona Esrei, but it nevertheless is a theme that's placed here in the Shemona Esrei. The theme of Birchas Kohanim doesn't get its own bracha though. So Ma'ro Lomer Birchas Kohanim Acher Hoda. Because that's what it says in the pasuk. Parsha Shmini says, "Va'isa Aaron nesiyadav el am va'yivarchem." Aaron did nesiyas kapayim. He duchened. Va'yered me'asas achatis via'ola v'ashlamim, and he came off the mizbeach. So wait a second. So doesn't that sound the other way around? Ema kodem avoda. So then wait a second. Maybe we should have put Birchas Kohanim before avoda. Well, it says, no, we wouldn't lose al kadaita. That doesn't make sense. No, because the pasuk doesn't say he finished duchening and then he did avoda. It says he finished duchening and then he came off the mizbeach after having done avoda. So it means that the avoda had preceded the Birchas Kohanim. So that's why the sequence here is exactly what it implies in the psukim, that it's avoda and then there's Birchas Kohanim, and then Aaron walked off. Miksev lasos? No, meyasos ksiv. So then if that's the case, wait a second. But we don't do that either. We don't do Birchas Kohanim after Avoda. We do Hoda after Avoda, and then we do Birchas Kohanim after Hoda. In other words, why are we doing Birchas Kohanim after Modi? Maybe we should do Birchas Kohanim as more intrinsic to the Avoda. The Lemra Achar HaAvoda, where it says, Los Al Ganadiv, Sizavech Toda Yechab Dineini, because the pasuk links Toda to Avoda. So then the question says, well, so my chaz is the samchas ahai, smocha ahai. So then why are you considering that pasuk to be the more powerful guide of the sequencing of the avoda, and then not really following the implication of this pasuk of vayir meyachsos achatos, smocha ahai? Why don't you organize the Shemona Esrei based on the pasuk vayisa aron, and you're going to have to compromise on Zaveh Toda. Gemara says, nah, Mistavra. Nah, even though you have two psukim and therefore it's a little bit of a dilemma, but at least common sense points in the direction of putting Toda with Avoda more than Birchas Kohanim with Avoda, because Mistavra, Avoda veHoda, Chada Mil Sehi. Because Avoda and Hoda is the same thing. Avoda and Hoda, Chada Mil Sehi. Rashi says, Av Hoda, Avoda Shel Makom Hu. Hoda is also avoda. Okay, lahalacha, I don't know exactly the implications of that, because we have a mitzvah of avoda. The Rambam writes that we have a mitzvah of tefillah based on pasuk avoda, but tefillah would not be just hoda. Hoda wouldn't be sufficient for that. It would have to be actually bakasha, real tefillos. So it's conceptually related, even if I don't think halachically it's necessarily equivalent. In any case, that's why. So you have avodas hakorbanos, then you have toda, which is modim, which is like avoda, and then you have birchas kohanim. So now the Gemara asks, okay, well after birchas kohanim we have sim shalom. Ma ro lomar sim shalom achar birchas hakohanim. Why did they place sim shalom after birchas kohanim? Dechsev v'samues shemi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. Because the pasuk regarding the duchening says that the Kohanim are going to say these brachos, and I'll give them bracha. What does that mean? That's a very open-ended bracha. Bracha de HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? Shalom. Shenamar, how do you know? Hashem Yivarech Esamo Bashalom. Like it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem gives a bracha to the people. What bracha is it? Shalom. And therefore, that's the bracha that Hashem gives, which is placed in the Shemona Esrei as the final bracha. That's the end of the Shemona Esrei. So now, that's the end of the long review of the Shemona Esrei and its sources and the psukim that guided the organization. So once we've already gone through the Shemona Esrei, we've even identified this as being from the Anshe Knesset Gedola, the 120 Zekadim, including the some Nevi'im. So then, if you look back on Yitzayin HaMabez, it says you have to say Shemona Esri in order. And it says, and why do you have to say it in order? Because the sound, like it says in the Braisa, Shimon Apikuli Hister Shemona Esri Lifnei Rama Gamliel Ala Seder B'Yavne. So the Gemara here is asking, hold on a second, make up your mind. What happened? Was it Shimon Apikuli who was laying out the Shemona Esrei in front of Rabbi Gamliel in Yavne, or was this from Anshe Knesset Gedola? The Chimiyachad may have asked from Zakenim him coming to the Imtiknu Tefila La Seder. Shimon Apikuli, what did he do? My Hister. Gemara answers Shachachum Mechazer Vesidrim. Somehow or other, over time, something had fallen into, into oblivion, that they forgot really how to daven, how to organize the brachas of the Shemona Esrei. This could mean anything. You might put some thought into what might have happened to be responsible for this kind of forgetfulness into something regarding a matter that ought to be a daily, a multiple time daily event. How could they have forgotten what happened? So you'd have to put some thought into maybe what does that mean? Maybe over time there was a lot more looseness to the Shemona Esrei. Maybe just that it means. It means that people, there was a period of non-tefillah. I don't know. But in any case, but by the time of Yavne, Rabbi Gamliel in Yavne, they reestablished the Shemona Esrei, and that's what we have. Okay, now the Gemara goes on. Mikan ve'eilach asur l'saper b'shvacha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once we have already a formal Shemona Esrei, you're not permitted to compose your own, Rashi says, b'kvius bracha. You're not allowed to compose your own brachas to modify the Shemona Esrei in that way. And the Gemara itself is emphasizing in particular with respect to Shevach Hashem, to praising Hashem. As much as you might imagine that ought to be something, just like we know, we're told, we are supposed to personalize the Shemona Esrei for bakashas, for additional bakashas. We're supposed to ask for things of relevance to ourselves. So, but we might think that therefore, if we're inspired to be Mosif Shevach to Hashem, that would be a good idea. Well, we're told, no, you don't get to do that. You're not allowed to compose your own Shevach to Hashem. The Amar Rebbe Elazar, Hashem, like Rebbe Elazar says, you know, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Miyam Aleil, who is able to express Gevuras Hashem, Yashmiya Kol Tehila So? If he can inform the totality of his praise, Lamino Elamalel Gvuras Hashem, who is kind of suited for composing their own praise to Hashem, the Gvuras of Hashem, Lamisha Yachol Hashmiya Kol Tehila So, which is impossible. You can't capture all of the greatness of Hashem. And therefore, don't try and don't get involved. Amar Rabba Bar Bruchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hamesaper, along these lines, Rabba Bar Bruchana quotes Rabbi Yochanan in the Amoraim, Hamesaper b'shvacha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoser midai. If somebody says too much shavach about Hashem, ne'akar min ha'olam, he's pulled out of the world. Shenemar, Hayisuparlo ki yadaber, imamarish ki yehula. What does that mean? Rashi explains, if a person is going to be misaper regarding Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, imamarish, if somebody attempts such a thing, ki yehula, they'll be destroyed in some way. Okay, so that's why we don't do that. We don't ever compose our own Shevach to Hashem. There's a Gemara elsewhere, it's not here, that says that, so then had the Anshei Knesset HaGedola get the idea of saying the ones that they said? It says, Elav, that they were just plucking phrases out of Psukim, they themselves also would not have composed their own original Shevach to Hashem, but then the Psukim written Baruch HaKodesh are apparently endorsed by Hashem as being suitable Shevach. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Ishkvar Giburaya Ve'amr Lishkvar Gibur Chayo. Rabbi Yehuda from either Kfar Giboraya or Kfar Gibor Chayil, had the following, he used to say the following thing. Ma'irech siv lecha dumia tehila. What does it mean in the Pasuk in Tehillim when it says, for you, silence is praise? What it means is, you see the relevance here, but what it means is sama dekula mashduka. The medicine for all kinds of problems, presumably social problems, relationship problems, is keeping your mouth shut. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came, he also had a similar kind of a thing to say. Amri b'ma'arava, here's what they say out there in Eretz Yisrael. Mila b'sela, Meshtuka betrain. A word might be worth a sella, might be worth a buck, but silence is worth $2. $2. It's like the expression, you know, speech is silver, but silence is golden. Same kind of a sentiment. Okay, obviously the point being, as it relates to Shavach to Hashem, is that, you know, don't talk too much about Shavach Hashem. Okay, two dots. Here we go back to the Mishnah. Mishnah says that Kara al peh lo yatsa. Mishnah the Yizayin Amalav says that if you read the Megillah al peh, lo yatsa. Minalan. Minalan is a funny expression over here. Usually minalan means where in the Torah is there a drasha that tells me this dindo raisa. It's not really a dindo raisa here for Kriyas HaMegillah. But in any case, where do you see the halacha that Kriyas HaMegillah has to be from a sefer, not from Baal Peh? Amarava asya zechira zechira, because there's a gzeres shava, zechira zechira, from where? Ksiv hacha vehayamim ha'ilan nizkarim v'nasim. It says here about Kriyas HaMegillah and the end of Megillas Esther, hayamim ha'ilan nizkarim v'nasim, which is the actual source of the mitzvah to read the Megillah every year. Hayamim ha'ilan nizkarim. You have to recall the events of the story. It's Kriyas HaMegillah. The Ksiv Hasam Ksov Zosikaron B'Sefer. And it says in Shmos, Ksov Zosikaron B'Sefer regarding Molech. So what's the Gzeres Shava? Ma'al Halan B'Sefer, Afkan B'Sefer. Just like the Ksivas, the events of Mechias HaMolech has to be B'Sefer, so we want the Kriyas HaMegillah also to be B'Sefer. Umimai D'Hai Zechira Kriyahi. So this question is a little bit funny. Are we asking, how do we know there's such a thing as a mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah? Maybe the pasuk doesn't really demand a Kriyas HaMegillah. It just means read the story to yourself. Dilma iyun bi alma. Mar says, no. That's al kadaita. That's not, you would never think this. Because why? Because the sanya. Zachor. Let's talk about Amalek. Zachar is Hirsch Sosval Amalek. Yachal Belev. Maybe the word Zachar just means keep them in mind. No, it can't be. Kishuamir Lo Tishkach. The last word of the Parsha is Lo Tishkach. That's Belev. Harishach Vasalev Amr. That's forgetting something out of your mind. Hamani Mekayim Zachar Bepeh. So what does Zachar really require? What does it demand? Bepeh. So this happens to be, that means you have to recite it. So the word zachor doesn't have a connotation of just keep it in mind. It has a connotation of you have to call it to mind by reciting. It has to be a spoken activity. And this is a binyan av. This is a precedent for just about all other places where it has the word zachor. It means you have to speak the thing and not just think about or contemplate the thing. Most simple example would be Zachar Yom Shabbos Hakadosh from yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah. It doesn't mean you have to think about Shabbos. It means you have to recite Kiddush. It's a mitzvah of Amira. So that comes from here. Two dots.
That doesn't address why it has to be read versus said from heart.
Well, we know we're putting together two different things. We know it has to be spoken. And the fact that it has to be by Sefer means it has to be from a Sefer. Oh, okay. So you put together these two things. And that means you have to have a sefer that you're speaking out the words that you're reading and reciting out loud. That you're reciting the words out loud.
But are we also saying that the Gemara is teaching lo tishkach is the reason why?
Lo tishkach tells me that it's required to have it in mind. And what that means is it bumps up what zachor could mean because it can't be redundant because we've already covered the belave. And so that forces a kind of a reinterpretation of zachor to be spoken. And then that's what's being being used as the model. Is that what you were saying? All right, do that. It says in the Mishnah, Kara Targum Lo Yatza. Mishnah says, if you recite the Megillah in translation, Lo Yatza, you have to keep it in the original is what it sounds like it's saying, right? No translations, even the Targum, the official Targum to Aramaic. Gemara says, Eichi Dami. Well, what did you try to do? What did you try to do? It says that you tried to just, you take your Megillah Esther, and you do a kind of a running translation of it, and that's what you want to count? Hey, Chidami, Yilema Dixiva Mikra, Vikarila Targum. What did you try to do? It was written here in Hebrew, and you're saying the words, doing a translation in your head? Hainu Alpeh. That's the same as reading it Balpeh. Which is interesting. I don't know if I would have said it's Balpeh. I mean, I'm being guided by the words as it's saying there. I'm just processing them as I'm going along. But apparently the Gemara says, no good. I'm not just reading. I'm thinking, and that's Balpeh. So just to be clear, the Gemara says, when the Mishnah disqualifies reading the Megillah in translation, it means even if I'm actually reading it from a translated Sefer. Okay, just to be clear. Then the Mishnah says the following thing, Aval Koren Ose Lelo Azos Bilaz. But, and it's an outright contradiction from one line to the next, and I'm sure you pointed this out last week, that it says in the Mishnah you can't translate it, implying that it has to be in the original Hebrew only. But then the next line, it says, but you can read it to the foreigners in translation. So this is an outright contradiction one line to the next. That's what the Gemara asks. We just said a second ago, you can't translate the Megillah. So Rabbi Shmuel, the Amrit Tarvayu. Okay, so now, Rabbi Shmuel asserts that here is the answer to this contradiction. When they read the Mishnah, here is what they say. The answer is that the translation that's tolerated is only Bela'az Yevani. That you cannot translate the Megillah, even into Aramaic, into whatever the spoken language, unless it's in Greek. Greek has a special status. Laz Yevani. Echidami. So let's think about this for a minute. Just to be clear. Ilema diksiva arsh ashuris, the karla Yevanis. What is the person doing? It's written in original, and you're reciting it in Greek. We already said that's called Hainu Alpeh. That's treated as Balpeh. Amar Avach Amar Lazar. Obviously, just to be clear, it's ksuva belaz. Yevanis. It's written in Greek. And that's what we're being told. That's what's acceptable. According to Rabbi Shmuel's reading of the Mishnah, you can't translate, you can't even read it from a translation unless it's Greek. The Amar Rabbi Acha Amar Rabbi Lazar. Since this is a parenthetical agadic interruption here, we just mentioned something from Rabbi Acha Amar Rabbi Lazar, so let's see a different thing from Rabbi Acha Amar Rabbi Lazar. Minayin. Shekrao Kadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov Ale. How do we know that Hashem labeled Yaakov as an El? El is a powerful person. Could also be a Shem Hashem, but obviously that's not what's going on over here. Shenamar Vayikra Lo is a pasuk in Bereishis. It says Vayatzev Shem Mizbeach Vayikra Lo El Elohei Yisrael. That Yaakov built the Mizbeach, and here we have a lot of ambiguous pronouns, and he called him or it El Elokei Yisrael. Okay, so how do you read the words of the pasuk? So it says here, the way it's being read by Rav Ach, according to Rav Elazar, is that Hashem called Yaakov an El. Deisal kadaita El, it means a powerful, like Havel Hashem b'nei Elim, that kind of a thing. B'nei Elim. So deisal kadaita lemizbeach kara le Yaakov kel. If you think that the wording is supposed to be read as, and Yaakov names the Mizbeach, or at least describes this Mizbeach is supposed to be dedicated to Kael, if that's what it was supposed to be, then Vayikra lo Yaakov! Kael, Elokei Yisrael, it should have said that. It should have identified Yaakov. Not just leave it as the pronoun. I don't exactly know the ins and outs of the conventions here, of the Chumash, for why this is so compelling, but in any case, Tosis tries to explore, you know, is there something different about this naming of a Mizbeach that's different from other similar types of situations like this? But in any case, Ella, Vayikra lo Le Yaakov El. Okay, so clearly that's the way he understood what's going on. Umikra o El, and who called him Elokei Yisrael? So the way they're reading the pasuk is Vayikra lo El Elokei Yisrael, that the subject is Elokei Yisrael calling him Yaakov El. Okay, what's the significance of this? Obviously, you have to put some thought into what's the intent of this agada. Okay, I mean the only one that I've heard about this is that it's in terms of halachta b'drachav, you're supposed to follow the derech of Hashem using living models of Hashem's behavior. And so that's what it means. It means Hashem was like writing Yaakov as being, I'll take you as a model of me, for people who can just follow along you. Okay, Meisevei. The Gemara now back to our discussion of the translation and what's okay, what's not okay. How could Rabbi Shmuel say that Greek is okay? Meisevei, but we have a braisa that shows that that's wrong. Kura giftis, ivris, elamis, modis, or yavanis, lo yatsa. It gives examples. It says you can't translate the Megillah. It has to be in the original. And it gives specific examples. Giftis, like Egyptian, ivris, like ivri, elamis, which would be Persian, I guess, modis, modai, or, and it even lists on the list, yavanis. Or yavanis, lo yatsa. Not Yotze. So how could Rabbi Shmuel say that Yavanis is what it's intended here in the Mishnah to be okay? More answers. Halo damya ela leha. No, you don't understand. This braisa is not really disqualifying all translations. It means as follows. Is a halo damya ela leha. Giftis le giftim is okay. Ivris le Ivrim is okay. Elamis le Elamim is okay. And Yavanis le Yavanim is okay. Yatsa. So presumably, that's how you have to qualify everything. Translations will be tolerated if it's to a group that understands the translation. So that's how to reconcile this braisa with, at this point we're thinking, with what Rabbi Shmuel said. But then the Gemara says, but that's impossible. Yahachi Rabbi Shmuel, then they had no business singling out Greek. Yahachi Rabbi Shmuel, lamai mokmi lele masnisim belaz yivanis. Lukma bechalaz. No, so really what they should have said is that it's okay to translate as long as you understand it. So, but that's not what they said. They focused on Greek. So, okay. So that can't be it. Ella, this is no good. So now in the brackets it says here, and this is not bad, the bracket says, Ella masnisin kebraisa. If you want to reconcile the contradiction of the Mishnah, we can do that easily, simply by using the rule that's laid out in that braisa that we said, namely what? The Mishnah says you can't translate, but then the next line says, but you can translate for foreigners. So what does that mean? So it means like this, like the braisa said, the translation can be done as long as it's a translation for people who understand the translation. Some Rishonim say, meaning for people who only understand the translation, but not if you're also a Hebrew speaker. Okay, that's a qualification that's so obvious in the Gemara that restriction is necessarily implied here. But in any case, that's how you reconcile the Mishnah. Now, what about Rabbi Shmuel? V'chi itmer de Rabbi Shmuel. So what did Rabbi Shmuel get at when they were focusing on Greek specifically? B'alma itmer. No, they were saying something else. They were having a different sheet that they weren't trying to explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah meant what it said. But Rabbi Shmuel is saying a different shita. Rabbi Shmuel, Diamri Tarvahu, Laz Yevani, Lakol Kasha. They were saying that Greek is just like the original Hebrew. You can anybody can reach, can be Mekayim the Mitzvah in Greek. It's a little funny. What does that mean? Even if you don't speak Greek. Even if it's Greek to you, you can read it in Greek. The Hakatani Yevanis Liyevanim. That's outright against the Braisa. The Braisa specifically puts Greek on the same list as others, but only for people who understand that language, but not for people who don't speak Greek. The Gemara says, Liyavanim in, Likuli Amalo. And the Gemara acknowledges that's true. What Rabbi Shmuel said is against that Braisa. But in who the Amak Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but they are following Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's Shita, which we already encountered earlier on Daf Chesed Beis, this Nan. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amir Afs Farm Lo Yitir She Yikasu Ela Yevanis. That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel considers, based on the Pasuk, Yafta Elokim Liyefes, that Greek is a given a special status like Hebrew. And therefore Rabbi Shmuel extended that even to mean that therefore if you're reading it in Hebrew and you don't understand, and if you don't understand the Greek, and if you're reading it in Greek, so then you're also Yotze. But as far as other translations, that's what it says in Ebraisa, that the translations are okay as long as you, as long as you understand the translation. The Gemara says,
were there a lot of Jews in Greece back then?
Well, I'll say a few things about that. Possibly, yes. There were some of the exiles were to Greece, but Greek was a widely English. Spoken language.
Mm-hmm.
It was widely spoken, even if, yeah, I mean, depends on the time period that we're talking about. I mean, whoever's saying these words, the Tanaim already, they were living in already a world of Greeks. Greek was the English of back then. It's not really like the English of back then. It's more like the Latin of about 100 years ago or 200 years ago, where it wasn't necessarily the vernacular. It wasn't spoken among the common people, but it was at least a... It was a well-known formal language.
Was it a chashiv language?
Yeah, but I don't know if its chashivus was that important. I don't know. I mean, we had to really know what was going on back then to make sense out of these things.
Was it the first translation from Hebrew to Greek?
Well, that was what it said on Daf. If it says Le'el Daf Chesam Beis, it describes some of that. It describes the Septuagint, the translation into Greek. So, okay, that wasn't the first translation because the Gemara even earlier in Megillah talks about the Targum that they already had from Ezra or from even earlier than Ezra, but at least that Targum into, I don't know, whatever language it was, Aramaic. That presumably predated the Greek translation. Okay, in any case, the Gemara says, well, hold on. If that's all Rabbi Shmuel were saying was the Pasuk of Shimon Gamliel, the Lamru, Halakha of Shimon Gamliel. Nah, that would be unclear. Amri Halakha of Shimon Gamliel, rather than spelling out specifically that you could create some Megillah in Greek, Vakol Kasher, Hava Mina Hani Mili Sh'ar Svar Maval Megillah Dixibi Kesavim Eim Alo. I might have thought that, no, there's some reason why in particular you wanted the Kriyas HaMegillah to be done in Hebrew only and not in Greek, Eim Alo. I would think maybe even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel wouldn't authorize a Greek reading of the Kriyas HaMegillah, so Kamash Malon. I don't 100% know what this means. Does it mean, because it says Kesavim, I would think what? That it has to be in the original, because Kesavim means only in the Jewish language, namely only Hebrew? Is that what the Havamina was over here? Or does it mean, no, you have to know the words, what they mean, and that's what it means. It means that there's no exception for an unintelligible reading of the Megillah, because the Megillah was Kifsavam, was translated into everybody's language, so everybody would understand. And that's what's being precluded over here. Not sure exactly. Anyway, Kamash Malah. So listen to the next line is a really significant line. Haloes shashama ashuris yatsa. If a person does not know Hebrew, but listens to the Megillah being read in Hebrew, yatsa. That's what it said in the Mishnah. That's a quote from the Mishnah. Right? So in other words, we have at this point just said, you can translate the Megillah as long as you understand it. But Hebrew... you don't need to understand. If it's in Hebrew and you are not a Hebrew speaker, then you're Yotze also. That's what the Mishnah said. And now the Gemara is going to explore that a little bit. The Gemara says, how does that make any sense? V'halo yada maika amri. If you're sitting there listening to them reading the Megillah in Hebrew and you don't know Hebrew, you don't know what they're saying. Right. The Gemara answers, yeah, why does that bother you? Midi dihava nashim yame ha'aretz. So why is that so bad? It's no different from women or Ami Ha'aretz. Yeah. I don't exactly know what we just explained by saying that, but I don't know. But in any case, it says, so we often have that situation of people who don't really understand the Hebrew, but they say it or they listen anyway, and that's good enough. I'm not sure exactly what was just said, but listen. Maskif la Ravina. Ravina attacked the question. He said, hold on a second. Forget about Nashim Nami Ha'aretz. There are certain phrases in the Megillah that we rabbis don't know what they mean. Atu, Anan. What, do you think that we, Ha'arashtranim b'nei ha'ramachim, miyadinan? Do we really understand what it meant when they wrote that they sent around the messages with the Ha'arashtranim b'nei ha'ramachim? What's that? We don't know what that is. So we read the words, but we don't know what it means. Ella, how do we deal with that? How do we kind of explain our own behavior? So it has to be Ella mitzvahs kriya upersumei nisa. Hachanami mitzvahs kriya upersumei nisa. The kriyas hamegillah includes the element of persumei nisa. So the mitzvah is to read the words and to tell the story and to publicize the miracle. So hachanami mitzvahs kriya upersumei nisa. That explains why we can read a Megillah without knowing what all the words mean. We got the gist. And that why somebody who's a non-Hebrew speaker can sit there and listen, not as a kind of as a participant, but as an observer of this story. Just by I see these guys are talking about the Nace, and the Rashi adds on, and so presumably you talk about it, you talk to people, you get the gist of what's going on, and that's good enough. It's an interesting thing that Persumei Nisa allows for the possibility of your involvement in the mitzvah, not as a participant, but just as a kind of an outside observer. And I would just want to point out that the other mitzvah, Persumei Nisa, out there, Hanukkah candles, has the same thing. There's a mitzvah hadlakas in there, but then there's a different thing called haroah, also mevarech. That there's such a thing as a, for Persumei Nisa purposes, there's a participation in the mitzvah, but there's also kind of an observer of the mitzvah. It's just the roah haner, even if you didn't madlik the ner yourself. So there's a parallel also to that. So that's a little bit of what's going on, presumably, over here. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Kara Seiragin Yatza. Mishnah says he read the Megillah Seiragin. What does Seiragin mean? Gemara says, they didn't know. Lo hava yadi rabbanan by Seiragin. The Talmidim, or the rabbi, somebody, some group, did not know what the word Seiragin meant. It says in the Mishnah that you're Yotze, the Seiragin, Seiragin Yotze. So they don't know what that referred to. Shema Uha, until once, they overheard Amsa Debe Rebbe, Rebbe's maid, her housekeeper, the Ka'amra, once they overheard her yelling at somebody, the Ka'amra, Lehula, Rabbana, to have an Ivy Paski Paski Debe Rebbe. And they saw that the Talmidim would come to Rebbe's home, and a couple of them would come in, and they would have to close the door. And then another group would come in, open the door, and close the door. And I guess it was, I don't know, it was cold outside or hot outside. And so she would be yelling at them, hey, why are you guys coming in? Lama, ad mosayatem nechnasim seiragin seiragin. Why are you guys coming in? Seiragin seiragin. So what does it mean? It means in clusters, in groups, with pauses, with gaps. So that's what they learned. They learned that it says in the Mishnah that if you read the Megillah and then you take a break, and you read a little bit more and you take a break, that you're Yotze, you're Yotze. And then, incidentally, once we're on topic of esoteric expressions that we came to learn from casual conversation from people, we're going to tell a list of other ones that are like that also. Lo havi yadi rabbanan mai chalug lugos. And in different Mishnayis, Brises, Rashi says that you sometimes encounter a vegetable called chalug lugos, and they didn't know what that is. Shema uha le'amsa debe Rebbe. Once they overheard Rebbe's housekeeper issuing orders in the kitchen, the amra le'lahu gavra de'havakam evadar parpuchini, that he was a guy who was, I don't know, doing something, he was poking around with his cucumbers. Ad masayata mefazer chalug lugacha. Why are you mefazering? Why are you scattering around your chalug lugos? So they learned from her what chalug lugos are. And apparently they considered her to be an authoritative source for this. And okay. Lo avi yadi rabbanan mai salsileha usaroma mecca. They didn't understand the expression of silsul. Salsileha usaroma mecca. What does that mean? What does it refer to? Shema uhali amsa debe Rebbe. Once they overheard Rebbe's housekeeper, the havis amra lelahu gavra the havim hapech b'maziyeh, she saw a guy who was kind of curling his hair, amra le, and she says to him, what are you doing? Masayata misalsel b'sarecha. So she used this verb of lisalsel to curl. Okay. So they learned the expression l'salseil, the verb, from her. Lo havi yadi rabbanan mai hashleich al Hashem yahavcha. They didn't know what the word yahav means. That the pasuk in Tehillim says throw your yahav on Hashem, onto Hashem. They didn't know what that is. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Zimna Chada. So we're no longer learning this from Rebbe's housekeeper, but from an Arab, Bedouin, somebody. Zimna Chada, have a Zilna Bahari Hutaya. I was once traveling along with this Taya. A Taya is an Arab. The Kadarina Tuna, and I was carrying my load. The Amar Li, Shkol Yahavich Vishodia Gamloi. Take your load and throw it on my camel. So he used the word Yah. Lo Habi Adurabanan. So you see that apparently these kinds of things are legit to interpret words based on these kinds of clues or indications. They didn't know what that whole expression. What's a tata? What is that? So they didn't know what that is. The pasuk says, you know, about Hashem, something about the tatia and destruction. Back to Rebbe's housekeeper, the Havas Amr Lachavrita, that she is speaking to one of the other workers there. Shkoli tatisa v'tati besa. Take the broom and sweep the house. So you see that that's what that verb is. In modern Hebrew, that is the word for broom, right? Yeah.
She must have had a very loud voice.
Yeah, well, yeah. Maybe they were roaming around the kitchen also. I don't know. Tana Rabbanan says in a brisa. Okay, kara seirugin yatsa. The brisa is consistent with what it says in the Mishnah. It says if you read the Megillah with pauses, yatsa, Amud Beis, it says seirusin lo yatsa. But if you read the Megillah, seirus lo yatsa. They know what that is. That means out of order, just like the name of the parak on top of the page. Kari lemafreya lo yatsa. So if you read the Megillah out of order, you're not yotzei. We're going to see more of that on this page later on. Rab Muna Amar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Afbase Rugin Emsha Kade Ligmaras Kula Choze LaRosh. Rab Muna said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana that even though you can create some Megillah with pauses, with breaks, but the breaks can't be too long. If you have a break that's so long as to be able to finish the whole Megillah during the break, that's too long a break. Choze LaRosh. You're going to have to start all over again. That invalidates the Kriya. Amar Rav Yosef. So now we get into a whole question about do we paskin like that or not. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef the Amora says, Halacha ke Rav Yehuda. Shamar Mishem Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef paskins that way. That you have to, your break has to be limited. Amar Le Abayi Le Rav Yosef. Rav Abayi asked Rav Yosef, what exactly does that mean? How do you define that? K'dei l'gmor es kula meheicha dekoi l'seifa, from where you're standing to the end? In other words, if I'm like halfway through, so then does it mean that I could finish from here to the end? And that's the amount of time that's too long a break? Ol dilma meireisha l'seifa. What does it mean, however long it would take me to do the entire Kriyas Megillah? Amar lei. So Rav Yosef says back to Abaye, no, it has to be Mereisha L'Seifa. De'im Kain, Nasata D'Vracha L'Shiurin. Because if you're going to say it's wherever you happen to have paused to the end, so then that's like impossible to ever determine that because it's always going to be different for every situation. And presumably what it also means is that if you're like two words from the end and you just sneeze or whatever, so then you're going to have to start all over again. I mean, so it's obviously Mereisha L'Seifa. That's what he tells him. It says from the beginning to the end. But still, that's a limitation on the length of the pause that's tolerated. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Rabbi Abba quotes from Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav. Now listen, this is important. So he's quoting that Rav says, Halacha Karebi Muna. And Shmuel, Amar Ein Halacha Karebi Muna. So Rav is passing like Rabbi Muna with the restriction. Shmuel, Amar Ein Halacha Karebi Muna with no restrictions. Besura masnu hafi. That's the way they said these things in Surah. In Surah, they said, Rab Abba, quoting Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, that says that Rav Paskin is like the Rav Muna with the restriction, and Shmuel denies it. And Bepun Padisa masnu hafi. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav, halacha k'Rav Muna, v'Shmuel Amar ena halacha k'Rav Muna. And from Padisa, it was Rav Kahana who was quoting, but still it was the same lineup of Rav paskining with Rav Muna, the restriction, Shmuel saying no restriction, ena halacha k'Rav Muna. And Rav Bibi, though, Rav Bibi had it the reverse. Masni Ipcha. He would teach that Rav Amr Eina Lach Rav Muna, Shmuel Amr Halach Rav Muna. That Rav Bibi said that it was Shmuel who was the one who paskins like Rav Muna with the restrictions. Okay, does it matter? Well, let's see. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now, who was the one in the top, who tells us that we're passing like Rav Muna, says, Nekod Rav Bibi Biyadecha. Rav Bibi's version of Rav Shmuel is correct. Why? Because Rav Yosef says that what he perceives in Shmuel is consistent with some behavior of Shmuel's that he has recognized from other places. Namely, what? The Shmuel who dechayish liyachida. Because Shmuel has demonstrated that he does this type of thing. That he'll paskin like a shitas yachid on a matter where the yachid is machmir. And presumably you should have paskin like the rov against the yachid. But Shmuel demonstrates that he paskins lechumra with the yachid in some other place. This nan, where do you see Shmuel doing this? And for this next thing, we go way out of into the dinim of Yibum. This nan is a Mishnah in Yivamis. It says the following: Shemeres Yavam Shekidish Achi Vesachusa. Okay, here's what's going on. You have the man dies, and his widow is not allowed to marry anybody other than one of the brothers. He dies without children. The woman is not allowed to marry anybody other than one of the brothers through Yibam, or if they do Chalitza, then she can go and marry. That's the rule. So one of the brothers is expected to do Yibam or Chalitza. That's what's happening. Well, before that happens, look what the story says. It says, the woman, the Shomeres Yavam, who has now a number of men who are her former brother-in-laws, her husband just died, one of those brothers went and married with Kiddushin the widow's sister. Now, what are the implications of that? Well, that means that that man can't be married to both the widow and the sister of the widow. That's an erva. So, but he went and married her. Now, what's the nature of that relationship of the Yavam and the Yavama? They're not married, but they're connected. She's not allowed to ignore that relationship. And so that's a funny kind of a thing that happened. And now what just happened was that one of the brothers goes and actually marries with Kiddushin a sister of the widow. So thereby, he is now no longer allowed to marry this one. So here's what it says. So as a machlokas ha-tanayim, Mishum Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira Amru. Okay, the Tanoim quoted from Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, very early Tana, Omrim lo hamtein. They order the brother, they tell him, stop, do not do chuppah. You can't go to the chuppah yet until ad sheyasa achicha gadol maisa, until your older brother does yibam or chalitza with the widow. But we don't let you go through with the chuppah because your relationship with this woman, you can't ignore it. And therefore, you can't proceed with a marriage with your wife. I mean, this is a kiddushin; it's not an engagement. So you can't go and have a chuppah with your wife yet because of this your other wife that you have here, who is the sister of your wife. And so this has to be resolved. That's what they tell you. You can't just ignore this. You have to resolve this first. Let your brother, and it's resolved by your brother doing yimra chalitza. Then that terminates whatever other relationship with any of the other brothers, and then you can go ahead in the clear and finish the marriage. Other Tanoim do not require this. Rashi explains over here, it depends on a broad question, whether the Yibam relationship is Yesh Zika. Is there an actual marriage bond, kind of, between the Yavam and the Yavama until, even before the Yibam Chalitza happens? Or not? Tanoim had a machlokes about this, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir's Machmir. Other Tanoim, hold the huckle. And Amar Shmuel, here's the punchline, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, Shmuel Paskins Lechumra. Now, that led Rav Yosef to say, you see how Shmuel is? He'll paskin l'chumra on a matter where a yachid holds l'chumra, and therefore probably he's the right one. He's the one who was machmer over here about the restriction on the amount of a pause in when you're reciting the Megillah with breaks. All right.
Why
all the brothers have the obligation of Yibam at the same time?
Yes, although, based on a pasuk is a mitzvah begadol yabim, that we do insist on the oldest of the brothers. Well, it's not going in order, but that the oldest one is the one who is first, is primarily responsible for taking action, either to do the yibum or the chalitza. But if he's not available, so then you would make sure the second one does the yibum or the chalitza. But all of them have a technical connection with her in the sense that anyone is eligible to do it, even if you prefer the oldest, but anyone is eligible to do a yibum or chalitza, and you only need one of the brothers to do the yibum or chalitza, and that's sufficient for the whole family.
So once one does it, you're...
All of them are off, right. Okay, Bryce, Tan Rabban, Hishmet Ba Sofer Osios Obsukin Vikarna Kori Kimaturgan Matargame Yatza. We've just talked about how the Kriyas Megillah has to be from the Ksav, it can't be Baltas. But they have a Bryce that says, what happens if you're reading the Megillah and you get to a part and there's a whole Pasuk missing? So you're worried about two things now. First of all, what am I going to do about the missing Pasuk? And the second thing is, do I have to start all over again because I'm reading from a Megillah that didn't have all the words? If this were a Sefer Torah, for example, we would say the whole thing is puzzle. So here's what it says. The Brisa says something unexpected. It says, well, as long as the reader can close his eyes and just recite the psukim by heart, or grab a chumash or something and then just read the psukim, what is equivalent to by heart, the karna, karik, maturgam, and target, yatza, good enough. And then he can go back to reading it from this Klaf, the Sefer, which is clearly missing words, but that's apparently okay. This is a remarkable, but this is the accepted halacha. There's no dispute. If there were some letters that were missing or faded or torn out or something, imri shuma nikar kishera. If you could at least make out the letters, then fine. Imlav psula. But if you can't, so then it's all puzzle. So this doesn't... Oh, wait, I got Mesevei. Oh, behold, this is against the Brisa. The Brisa says that, no, I need to be able to recognize all the letters. Doesn't it say that in this Brisa? It says, Mesevei, it says if the letters were Matush Tashus Mekura Os, if I can't read the letters, no good. Psula. Mar says, Lokasha Habakula Habamiktsasa. It depends. Are we talking about the Megillah where Rov is illegible? That's no good. But as long as it's only a Miktsas, only some of the words are either missing, torn out, illegible, then it's kosher for use as a Megillah, in which case you're going to necessarily be reading some of the psukim, either Baal Peh or from a different sefer. That's remarkable. That's what it says. That is the halacha. Tan Rabbanan. So now in a related but very different context, Tan Rabbanan. Tishmet ba korei pasuk echad. What if the person is reading the Megillah and he skips a line? So what remedy is there? Lo yomar ekras kula v'achakach ekraoso ha-pasuk. I can't say, well, let me just finish up and I'll say that pasuk last, so then by the time I'm done, I'll have read all the psukim. No good. Elakore me'osa pasuk ve'ilach. I have to read the missing pasuk and then continue from there to the end. Because why? Because that's the name of the parak. Kore l'mafreya lo yatsa. You can't read the words out of order. And then similarly, nifnas the beis hakneses imatzat tibur shekaru chetzia. What if likewise I come to shul and they've already started and they're halfway done? Lo yomar ekra chetzia metzibur. I can't say, well, let me just listen to the half here and then I'll go find another minion for the first half. Achar kach ekra chetzia lekari asamitzkila saviat sofa. You have to walk out. You're going to miss that. That one you can't count for nothing. You're going to have to get someplace where they're starting. Now, what happens in real life is that you sometimes come late and you miss the first pasuk or two. So it's not terrible, but here's what happens. The official psak, based on what it says right over here, is here's what you do. If you can't find another one easily, then what you do is you walk out, you say the brachos, you start reading out loud yourself the first few psukim fast, out loud, so that you can catch up to where the chazan, and then walk inside, and then you can catch the rest of it from the chazan, and that's okay, because that's exactly what it says over here. If I have a miktsas that I'm reading Baal Peh, as long as Rov is from the Ksav, from the Baal Korei, yatsa. That's the official recommendation.
You have to read from Real Megillah?
No. Because it's Baal Peh. Because even if some of it, even the Balkari is reading some of it Baal Peh. It's also okay. All right. Misnam name Yatza. Mishnah says if I'm sleeping, I'm dozing off as I read the Megillah Yatza. Eichidami misnam name. What exactly does dozing off look like? Not like we need to be taught this or anything, but anyway, Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, well, you know, nim velo nim. He's kind of sleeping, but not really. Tir velo tir. He's kind of awake, but not really. The Karaleviani. If you call him, he'll respond. Velo yodei la'adir svar. But you can't talk intelligently to the person. Chimat Karalei midkar. But if you remind him of something, it'll be familiar. Okay, that's a nice image of dozing. But what was the point of the halacha? The halacha is that if you read the Megillah dozing, yatza. And a lot of us are very pleased to hear this because we sometimes are sitting in shul and dozing and we're saying, well, at least it says here in the Mishnah that yotze, that's good to hear, but it's not at all good to hear because the Mishnah is talking about the reader who's dozing. It doesn't talk about the listener in shul who's dozing. The listener in shul who's dozing is checked out for those words. And that's the same as the halacha if you miss a couple of words, you got to make them up in order. So try not to doze off and not to pin it on this mission. The mission is talking about reading the Megillah dozing. All right, Mishnah. Hayakosva Darsha Magia. If the person was writing a Megillah, was teaching Megillah, or was correcting a Megillah, im kivin libo yatza. If he had kavana for the mitzvah, yatza. Eichi dami. Just to be clear, what exactly is the person doing? I know we really have no time, but let's see how far we can get quickly. What is the person doing? He's reading and writing a Megillah. No, opposite. What is he doing? He's reviewing the pasuk in his mind and writing it. So then, kikivin libo mayevi. So what good is it to intend to be yotze mitzvah? Havi al peh. That's called redoing Megillah al peh. Ela de kasa psuka psuka v'karila. So what did he do? He has a Megillah. He's writing the Megillah down, and then he reads what he just wrote. That doesn't count either. Miyatza? He wouldn't be yotze with such a thing. Beho amar Rav Kelbo amar Rav Chama bar Guri amar Rav. But these Amorim quoted the name of Rav Halacha Kedivri amar Kula. The psak is that you have to read the entire Megillah, and it's a reference to Machlokas later on in the next Amud. You'll find out. Even if you hold that the Kriyas HaMegillah does not require from beginning to end, you need the Megillah itself to be a complete and intact Megillah. So you can't just have one line and then read it and count that as a Megillah and then write the next line and read it. And so that's no good. Ela demancha Megillah kameh. Obviously, the only case is that there's even nothing to talk about is Avakosha Megillah and Vikari Lamine, Psuka Psuka, Vikasavle. And I'm going to read what it says and then I'll write my own Megillah. So I'm Yotze because of what I've read, not because of my writing. Lema Misayeya Lay. But the point of the Mishnah is that I need Kavana, and the Kavana will enable me to be Yotze by Mitzvah. Gemara says, Lema Misayeya Lay L'Rabba Bar Bachana. If the Mishnah is taking it as assumed that I have a kosher Megillah there that I'm reading from as I write a Megillah, so then that sounds like it's the basis for a statement of Rabba Bar Bachana the Amora. The Amor Rabba Bar Bachana, Amor Biyochanan. A sofer who's writing is not allowed to write Baal Peh. You have to be reading from a sefer already when you're writing. And as you see from the Mishnah, that's presumed. The Gemara says, nah, you can't prove it. Dilma is the Yisram Elias Ramuye. Okay, the Mishnah is talking about that case, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's required by law, the way Rabbi Bar Bachana said it. So it's not a right. Gufa. Okay, the Gemara now says, well, earlier we mentioned, let's talk about this now. Amar Rabbi Bachan Amar Biyochanan. Asur lechtov ochsachas shelo menaksav. A sofer is not allowed to write one letter of a Torah, Megillah, whatever, any of the things that he's writing, shelo menaksav, without having first read it from a sefer. Meisavei, but they quote a braisa against this. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Meisav Rabbi Meir. Shehalach le'aber shana biyasya. Once upon a time, it tells the story of Rabbi Meir, the Tana, was once out of town. B'l'hoyesha Megillah was on Purim. And he went la'aber shana, interestingly, right around Adar time. So at Purim time, he was stuck away from any community. And they didn't have a Megillah. They cost him a libo. And he just wrote one from memory. The Quran, they used that. So I'm Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Avo answers, You can't prove anything from Reb Meir. Shiny Rebbe Meir, de Mikayim Beviafa, Pacha Yashiru Negdecha. He was a genius. He had a photographic memory. For him, just writing it is the same as reading it from Ksav. Amar Lei, Rami Bar Chama, Le Rebbe Yirmiya, Midifti. Rabbi Yirmiya, Rami Bar Chama is asking Rabbi Yirmiya, "May v'afa pechi yeshir negdecha?" Amar lo, "Elu divrei Torah." Dechivu hasoif einachabo ve'einenu. It's referring to divrei Torah that if you take your mind off it right away, you'll start losing it. Afilu hachi miyusharni etzel Rabbi Meir. Nevertheless, Rabbi Meir didn't have that failing, and he had perfect recall, and so for him, he was able to write the Megillah. He's different. Rav Chista, Ashkechel, Rav Hananel, and along these lines, Rav Chista once encountered Rav Hananel, who was a sofer, the Avakosta Sfarim Shalom and Exav. He was writing Sfarim from his own memory. Amar Lei, he said to him, "Listen, Re'uya kol haTorah kula shlichasav al picha. You are totally qualified to write the whole Torah from memory. Avakach, Amru Chachamim, Asu Lechdov, Achazah Shalom and Exav. But the Chachamim don't permit you to write Shalom and Exav." Anyway, so from the fact that he says to him, "Look, we all know that you are competent or able to write a whole Torah from memory," so obviously that he's like Rabbi Meir in that way, and nevertheless he told him, "Don't do it." So why do you say Rabbi Meir is allowed to do it? So, Bahar Rabbi Meir, Kosav, my answer is, yeah, well, Shas Hadachakshani. Well, he was only able to get away with it because they were stuck. They had no other option. Abaye Sharli le Rabbi Rabbar le Debay Bar Chavu le Mechtav Tfilin umezuzel Shalom and Ksav. Abaye said that requirement that you have to write your Svarim min haksav, itoch haksav, that only applies to a Torah and to Nevi'im and to Ksuvah Megillah, but not to Tfilin umezuzel. The parshas are so small and everybody is so familiar with them that you don't have to, those you can write from memory. Keman ki haitana, desani Rabbi Yirmi Amr Mishim Rabbeinu. It follows this Tana of the Braisa that says, quoting Rabbeinu, meaning Rabbi, tefillin u'mezuzos nechtavos shalom v'nechsav. You're allowed to write them even without a reference, without a ksav. You can write them from memory. Ve'ein tzricho sirtut. And incidentally, they also don't require sirtut. Those are the lines. The hilchasa, that's what they say, but here's the psak halacha. Psak halacha is tefillin ein tzrichin sirtut. Tefillin do not require sirtut. The reason that's given is because you never need to read them, because the parshios never need bedika. You don't have to check tefillin parshios ever. The halacha is as long as you're using them regularly, you never need to check tefillin parshios. Mezuzos, which are required to be checked every few years, tzrichin sirtut. And idi v'idi niftav shalom and aksav. But you don't need to have aksav when the sofer is writing them. Maitaima migras grisin. Because he's so familiar with the words. All right, let's stop here.